which reminds us of the reality of God's sovereignty and his providence, so that God is at work in the details of people's lives to achieve his good purposes and his plans, plans to redeem his people, as we'll see. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look into this book, and today we're going to start looking at Ruth chapter 1, which has just been read for us. Let's just pray again as we come to God's word together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that over the next few weeks, as we open up this beautiful story, that you would help us to see what you are saying to us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be at work in our hearts and apply this part of your word to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel was in the promised land. It was the days when judges ruled. Now, sadly, during this time, as we know from the book of Judges, Israel was guilty of great moral corruption and evil. And there was this constant cycle of Israel sinning, God judging them, sending enemies against them, and then Israel repenting, and then God delivering them through one of the judges, and then there was peace. And yet the cycle would go over and over again. Sin, and then judgment, and then grace, and then peace. Sin, judgment, grace, peace, over and over. Now, during this time, there was a famine. Maybe God was judging his people, we don't know. But famine is never nice. And so one man, Elimelech, decided to take his family, his wife Naomi, his two sons, to Moab to see if they could find some food there. A little while later, tragedy struck. Elimelech died. Naomi was left with her two sons, who eventually married, both of them to Moabite women. And then after 10 years in Moab, tragedy came again. This time, both Naomi's sons died. And now suddenly it was Naomi and her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Naomi had no husband, she had no sons, there were no grandchildren to carry on the family line. This is a tragedy. And yet while for Naomi it was all bad news, there was good news coming from Judah. Back home, the Lord had sent rain. The crops had grown. There was a harvest to come. There was food for the people. Compared to how things were for Naomi, things were looking up in Judah, so it made sense for Naomi to return home. And so with great pain in her heart, Naomi, with her two daughters-in-law, they set out for Judah. And on the way, Naomi stopped them and said to them, "Go home, go back. Go back to your mother's home." Naomi figured that this was the best chance these young women had. To go back to their mother's home was to go back to the place where they could be prepared for marriage again, to find another husband. And so she tries to send them on their way, and yet the bond between Naomi and her two daughters-in-law was a strong one. She loved them very much, and they clearly loved her deeply. Because when Naomi kissed them goodbye, the women wept and said to Naomi, "We will go back with you to your people." And yet Naomi persisted. She urged them to reconsider. "Go home," she said. "Go home." Naomi spoke of a practice that's outlined in Deuteronomy 25, which makes provision for a widow whose husband has died, for that the brother-in-law, or her husband's brother, to marry her to provide an heir, someone to continue the family line. It was one of the obligations under the law in Israel. But how could this happen if Naomi had no sons and she was too old to have any more? "Go home," she said. She felt the weight of the tragedy that had come upon her. Why would she want Ruth and Orpah to share in it any more than they already had? For 10 years they'd been part of her life and their own husbands had died. Why would she want them to come back with her and experience any more of this tragedy? "Go home." Orpah was convinced. She kissed Naomi. And in obedience, she went back to Moab, just as Naomi had urged her. But not so Ruth. With unwavering loyalty, Ruth clung to Naomi. Once more, Naomi said, "Go home. Look, your sister-in-law is going. Go home." And Ruth had had enough. She didn't want to hear anymore. "Do not urge me," she says. "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and I will be buried there with you." Despite the apparent hopelessness of continuing down this road with this woman whose life was torn apart by tragedy, such is Ruth's devotion to Naomi that she commits to continuing with and to living with and to worshipping with and to be buried with Naomi. Invoking the name of Yahweh, Naomi's God, she says, "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Ruth's not going anywhere. So Naomi can see this and she stops urging her to leave. And heavy-hearted and worn out and spiritually, emotionally and physically spent, they continue on their way back. And eventually they arrive in Bethlehem. And as they enter the town, there's a stirring among the people. "Can this be Naomi?" the women say. They were shocked. They remembered Naomi. 10 years ago, she'd left. They remembered her. She left with her husband. She had 2 sons. She looked well. She looked healthy. Things were tough at that time, but she looked fine. And now before them was this woman with no husband, with no sons, just a foreign woman tagging along with her. And look at her. Her face told the story of her great pain. She was almost unrecognizable as she wept. "Can this be Naomi?" It's distressing for them as they look at her. "Don't call me Naomi," she says. "Call me Mara. Call me bitterness," she says, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. She says, "My life is not pleasant, it is bitter." That's how she feels. And as far as she can see, her bitterness and her bitter experiences come from the hand of God. And yet our story finishes as Naomi comes into Bethlehem, comes into the house of bread, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, as the barley harvest is about to begin. This is our story for this morning, and I hope you get something of the sense of how Naomi was feeling as she came home from Moab. To this point in the story, now I know if you understand the story of Ruth, you'll have a bigger picture in your mind already, but to this point, where we stopped this morning, this is a tragedy. This is a deeply tragic story. And it's a story that we can learn a lot from. And so for the remainder of our time here this morning together, we're going to think about what Naomi's story in Ruth chapter 1 has to say to us. There are lots of different things that we could say as we look at this story, and lots of different angles we could take as we look at this story. But there's just kind of a couple of themes I want to focus on this morning. We're going to see that Naomi's story is one of going away, of emptiness, and of coming home. So let's look at these three themes. First of all, we notice that Naomi's story begins with her going away. And there's three things we have to see within this, about this going away. First of all, we have to realize that Naomi and her family were going away from somewhere. Naomi was going away from the promised land. And this is really important. This kind of sets the whole scene for this book and for this story in particular. Remember, this was the land, this promised land, was the land where Abraham had been promised. This was the land that was given to Israel under the leadership of Joshua. And the Israelites knew this. The promised land was the place of God's promised blessing. This was the place where God would dwell among his people and bless them. Now, of course, during the time of the judges, as we've said, things weren't good. There's all this immorality, this evil kind of going on there. And yet the promised land is still the promised land. And to go away from there was a big deal. If you're reading this not long after it's been written and you've kind of got your head in this space, you go, wow, that's a big deal to go away from the promised land, no matter how hard things are, to go away from the promised land. Because it, at least in a symbolic way, it's to go away from where God is, away from the place where he had promised to bless his people. And so they go away from the promised land. But also we notice where they go away to Moab. away from the promised land and to Moab. Sure, there was food there. It kind of makes sense. But Moab? Really? Moab was one of Israel's enemies. They worshipped false gods. Under Joshua, as they came into the promised land, Israel was supposed to wipe out all the foreign people, all the people there who worshipped other gods, so that they would not kind of go after those gods themselves. But here we have Naomi and her family leaving the promised land to go to another place where they worship foreign gods. Something doesn't make sense about this, at least for a reader back in those times. Even though we know that they're going to get food, we're kind of meant to feel this kind of tension. Something's not quite right about this. It's a really grey kind of story. They're hungry. There's no food. What are they supposed to do? And yet something isn't quite right. We start to ask questions like, did they really trust that God would provide for them? If they really trusted God, even in the hard times, why leave the land to go to Moab? Other people stayed. We'll soon discover that there was a guy there called Boaz who'd stayed in the promised land. Now, you might want to defend Naomi and her family. I'm not here to kind of bash her. But wouldn't you kind of do the same? I think maybe I would. Go away and try and find some food. If that's how we're thinking, we need to notice one more detail in this story. It's that they go away and they stay away. In verse 1, we're told, it's a little bit hard in the NIV for us to see this. The ESV picks it up more, but in the NIV, we're told they go to live for a while. The ESV tells us that they sojourn in Moab. Maybe this is really the best place to see out this severe famine. And yet, at that point, permanently staying there doesn't seem to be their goal. And yet in verse 2, we're told that they lived there. And again, the ESV says they remained there. And then, in verse 4, the language gets even stronger. It says that they had lived there, that is, they had settled down there. And now 10 years had passed. Her sons had even married Moabite women. It seems that Naomi and her family left with the good intention of coming back once they'd got the food they needed, but they became comfortable in Moab and settled down there. It's as though they went with a tent. And then while they were there, they built a house and stayed. And so as we read, I think we're meant to kind of feel this tension. It's one thing to go away from the promised land. It's one thing to go and get a bit of food from Moab. But it's another thing altogether to end up staying away. And this is what Naomi and her family did. They went away from the place where God had promised to bless his people and settled in a place which in the end stood opposed to God and his people. And friends, Naomi's going away story reminds us that our story can be the same. In fact, there is a sense in which we all have a going away story to tell, every single one of us. Since the beginning, says the Bible, mankind has been going away from God and settling down away from him. All of us have gone away from God. All of us have sinned against him. This is the story of the whole Bible. And yet, in another way, Naomi's going away story reminds us that there are also many people who at one point seem to be living in the place of God's blessing. Having seemingly understood who God is and what he has done and is doing for them, and yet they still choose at some point to go away from him. They are people who, especially when life gets tough or when there's tension and trouble in their life, they choose to go away and settle down in a place like Moab, away from the God who can provide. And I suspect that there are some people here today who have gone away from God and have settled in a place like Moab. I know that there are many more of you here who know someone else who has done that. I can think of family members. I can think of school friends, plenty of school friends. I can think of a Bible study leader I had when I was in upper high school. I can think of people who, even in the last 4 years that I've been pastoring in this church, who have gone away from God, gone away from the place of blessing, and gone to settle in a place like Moab. Often it begins as a sojourn, just a little trip into Moab, and then they've settled down there. Some people go away from God and eventually settle in a place called wealth, a city where people chase hard after money and the material things at all cost. Some people go away from God and eventually settle in a place called lifestyle, a city where comfort is king, where God's church and his heart for the lost and for the vulnerable are all less important than having a comfortable life. Some people go away from God and settle in a place called sex, a city where people freely ignore God when it comes to how humans should use the gift of sex that God has given to us. Some people go away from God to settle in a city called fame, a place where standing up for Christ and living for him has been sacrificed at the altar of my reputation. Others have gone away from God to settle in a place called career or a place called family. But we've all, in some way, haven't we, gone away from God, or at least we know others who have, and settled in these places. And I feel uncomfortable saying this because I know myself that these places are familiar. They're familiar places, and I'm sure they're familiar to you. All of us have, in some way, sojourned into these cities from time to time. And maybe some of us are sojourning for so long now where we're remaining or we're settling down in these places. This is why sojourning is dangerous. Like Naomi, what starts off as a short-term stay in one of these places quickly becomes permanent residency. It's like we go in with a visa and we end up staying there with permanent residency. Our various Moabs offer us something different, something that we think makes us complete or makes us want to stay. And when we go there and we settle down far away from God. I want to ask this morning, have you gone away from God? Have you gone away from the place of his blessing? Are you going away even now? Are you thinking of settling down in the place to which you have gone? If so, we need to keep listening to Naomi's story, because we secondly discover that Naomi's story is a story of emptiness. Man, she feels the pain, doesn't she? She feels the pain of her tragic circumstances. I can't pretend to understand why all these things happen. We're not kind of given a bigger picture until we get later on through Ruth. And even then, this is hard to understand. It's a tragedy. But she feels empty. And worse than that, she feels empty knowing that she was once full. And so she says in verses 20 and 21, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." When she arrived in Moab, she felt full, and yet now she feels empty. She was, you know, full to the brim. And yet it seems to her, at least, that God has kind of pricked her over and over again over these 10 years. These things have happened to her. These little leaks have been springing in her life, and now she's drained dry. She's empty. "The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." These verses raise all kinds of questions for us, don't they? And the questions we can't answer right now. Questions like, where is God in all of this? What is all this stuff even about? Why is this happening? Is God kind? Can Naomi's emptiness ever be filled? Can God do anything to fix this emptiness that she feels? These are the kind of questions that are just left hanging as we get to the end of this first chapter, and we don't get to answer them this morning. We have to work through the rest of Ruth. We see how God works as the book continues. For now, we're supposed to have this picture in mind of a woman who was once full but is now empty as a result of the tragic circumstances that have come upon her. And as we see and as we feel her emptiness, we are reminded of this fact that those who go away from God, in the end, those who go away from God and settle down in a place apart from him, a place like Moab, will experience emptiness. I don't want to be unfair on Naomi and her family, but we need to understand that in the context of the covenant that God has made with his people in the Old Testament, for someone to choose to settle down and to stay outside the promised land, outside the place of God's blessing, is to choose to expose yourself to the risk, even to the inevitability, that you will feel empty. Was Naomi's husband's death and the death of her sons punishment for leaving the promised land? I don't know. Perhaps not. Maybe it just is something that happened. But what we do know is that she wasn't in the promised land. The place where God had promised to bless his people. She had settled down away from him. And in this sense, emptiness was always going to come. If not because of these tragedies, then for some other reason, because she was away from the place of God's blessing. Friends, there is a reason that people who settle down in places that are far from God end up feeling empty. There is a reason that those who spend their whole lives chasing after money and power and sex and lifestyle, as we've spoken about, comfort, those things, whatever it is, there's a reason they end up feeling empty. When you settle down away from God, there is no way that in the end you will experience true filling. Indeed, the opposite is true. There is a void within us that only God can fill, and to seek to fill it by some other means will prove futile. In the end, there is only emptiness apart from God. And so again, I wonder this morning if you know this feeling. Do you know the feeling of going away from God and from the place where his blessing is found, going into sin and sojourning there for a while and then settling down in sin, and yet after a while, as you settle down and as you revel in that place where you have settled, feeling the emptiness of such a decision? Do you know that feeling? If you do, then you need to listen to the last part of Naomi's story, because Naomi's story is a homecoming story, a story of her coming back home where she belongs. Feeling empty, she returns home. And there's just two things we need to say about this. First of all, there is good news which calls her home. Naomi has been there for 10 years in Moab. Now, what is it that causes her, aside from her emptiness, which kind of causes her to lift her eyes and think again about Judah, what causes her to go back? Well, it's good news. Verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. Naomi had heard that God had intervened. There had been rain, and there was a harvest to come. And friends, this reminds us that for someone to return to God, to the place where they'll find his blessing, they must first hear the good news of what God has done. The good news, the gospel needs to be heard before someone will begin the journey back home to God. And so here is the good news for us, in case we need to hear it again this morning. There is still a God who loves you. He is a God who sent his son Jesus into the world in order to die for us, to make it possible for those who are far away from him to come home to him. To make it possible for those, even those who have until now settled down away from God, to come back to him. Friends, the good news of Jesus, it calls us home. It is an invitation, a ringing invitation. It never stops ringing. Come home, come home, come home. Come home to the kindness of God. Come home to the goodness of God. Come home to the God who loves you and has promised to bless you. And then secondly, we notice that hearing the good news leads to walking. Hearing the good news leads to walking towards where the good news has come from. Naomi responds by heading home. In her emptiness, Naomi can see this is her only hope. It is her only hope. And so she begins the journey home. And she goes with tears in her eyes. It's not easy. I'm not pretending that she kind of suddenly had a smile on her face. This is a tragic end at this point in the story. But she goes. With pain in her heart, still she goes. The good news calls her home and she sets out. And what's more, Ruth goes with her. This is quite an incredible detail. Ruth, the Moabitess, goes with her. Not only does a child of Israel, who already knows about the promised land and where she needs to be, not only does she go, but she comes back with her, with a Moabite. This Moabite willingly leaves her homeland and her impotent gods, and she accompanies Naomi home, back to God. You see, with God isn't just the best place for Naomi to be, it's the best place for Ruth to be as well. It's the right place, friends, for all of us to be. And so again, perhaps you know the experience of feeling the emptiness of life apart from God, and then of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and beginning the journey home back to God, of realizing that this is your only hope and starting that journey of walking back to Him, that journey of repentance, that journey of returning to Him. Maybe that's the experience you've had. I hope it is in some way for all of us. But maybe it's you even today. Maybe you've come to realize, maybe for the first time, that life apart from God is empty. That to settle down away from God, away from the place of His blessing, is to experience in the end emptiness, because there is no life apart from God. And so maybe today you are hearing the good news of what Jesus has done for you in order to enable you to come home to God. And today you know that you need to come home to Him. If this is you, if that's you this morning, then I want to urge you, why not start that walking today? Take those steps out of Moab and head back to Judah. Head back to the place of God's blessing. Head back to Bethlehem. Friends, to this point in the book of Ruth, Naomi's story is one of going away, of deep emptiness and tragedy. We're meant to feel that, but also a story of coming home. And in this way, the story kind of finishes with hope, just a glimmer of hope. Verse 22, and so Naomi returned. She came home from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. At the end of this otherwise very tragic story, there is a glimmer of hope. The harvest is beginning. Naomi has come home. And as we continue, we're going to discover that this harvest is a source of great hope, not just for Naomi, but for Ruth and for the whole of Israel. In fact, hope for the whole world comes from this story. And we're going to get there over the next 3 weeks. What we can say this morning, friends, is this: there is hope for those who come home to God. There is the sure and certain hope of sins forgiven, the guarantee that your emptiness will be filled, that there will be a filling in this life, but far more than that, there will be an eternal filling as you experience the blessings of being with God forever. This is the promise of the gospel, that if you put your trust in Jesus, that if you trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins and you come home to God with tears in your eyes, with pain in your heart, but if you come home to God, there is a promise that your emptiness will be filled for all eternity as you experience the blessings of being with God forever. There is a hope, a perfect and certain hope for all those who come home to God. Jesus tells a story about a similar kind of homecoming, doesn't he? The story of the prodigal son who went away from his father and he lived in this place. He settled down and lived for pleasure and for stuff and for himself, and he found it so utterly unfulfilling, as it always will be. And this man remembered home, and with his head bowed and with tears in his eyes, with pain in his heart, he went home to his father. He just wanted to be welcomed as a servant. And yet when he arrived, the father welcomed him back as a son. He rejoiced that this child, this son who had walked away from him, had come home to him, back to where he belonged. And friends, this is the welcome that we receive when we come back to our Heavenly Father. We are welcomed as sons, as children of God, dearly loved, when we come back to Him. All who have gone away from Him are invited to come home. And so I want to ask, are there some here today who need to come home to God? I'm sure that there are. I'm sure that there are. Are there some here who have settled down somewhere else in one of those places where we think we're going to find what God isn't giving to us? Are there some here who need to leave that place and come home to God? The invitation is there, come home. Would you come home to God? Would you place your trust in Jesus, whose death for your sins makes it possible for you who have gone away from God to come home to Him? Would you start that journey today? Come as you are. You can come just as you are, with tears in your eyes, with pain in your heart, feeling empty and broken, but just come home to God. Friends, if you'd like to come home to Him today, I just want to encourage you, please don't leave here without talking to somebody. Maybe you know someone who you're here with, you've got a friend here or whatever it might be. Talk to them about what it means to come home to God by putting your trust in Jesus. You can come and talk to me or one of the elders, but just talk to somebody about what it means to come home to the God who loves you as much as our God does. Friends, let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks that you call us home. The good news of what you have done, the kindness you have shown by sending Jesus into this world, that in Bethlehem a baby was born who came that we might have forgiveness of sins and life forever. We thank you that you call us home. We pray, Lord, that we might not succumb to the temptation of sojourning in places that are away from you. And if we are right now, Lord, help us to come back. Lord, if there are some here, and I believe there are, who have settled in places that are far from you, would you today, by your Spirit, compel them to come home to you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.